start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity of the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars. What day is it? Monday, April 7th, 2000, and there we go. 2025. How did I lose a year? I don't know. Because an email just came up. Right? Yeah, nothing came up. People call me, now they know I'm on the air. It's 8 o'clock. Everything else. Hold on, let me take care of this. No email. Okay. Been very busy over the last couple of days here. Just moving on along. Okay, so apparently a couple of things not stream. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Okay, update. Okay, we have a lot of negative bad weather up here. The last couple of days, and the internet's been glitchy. So, hopefully this is recording. If not, we have the audio being recording. Apparently, the podcast did not upload last week, so we're going to get on that, God willing, today. But how's everybody doing out there? Yeah, we cleaned up from the flood. Our two bedrooms got flooded. We had to get a new roof. I mean, it's kind of nerve-wracking when you're in our industry and you have the roof redone. It's like, do I want to be home? Do I not want to be home? Do I want to be home? Do I not want to be home? Do I want to be home? Do I not want to be home? Right, sort of thing. But we got a legitimate company. They actually use fall protection. It's incredible, which is a weird thing up here in the Rockland County area because nobody uses fall protection. So when the guy came over, he says to me, I said, well, Jimmy, when do you want to do this? I said, well, are you going to do it on like the weekend? And he says to me, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, on the weekend, you know, because that's usually when all the other work gets done around here on roofs. It's on the weekend because why? OSHA's closed. Now, I got off the phone with a colleague right before airtime here. And a lot of the questions, a lot of people are going through here because of misreporting on the news and words going on, around the job sites and everything. OSHA has been disbanded. Right? And what's that all about? Right? Right? NIOSH has been disbanded. So we're going to review something here, all right? So I'm looking at, and let me share a screen here, just so everybody, we can all be on the same page, so to speak, right? So here we have from congress.gov. So this is a U.S. government website in Congress. And here we have a bill called H.R. 86, the NOSHA Act. Representative Andy Biggs, representative of Arizona's 5th Congressional District, introduced 1-3-2005, which was like the first day, and this is like the second or this is the third time this bill is going through, right, and it's been proposed. So the latest action was referred to the House Committee on Education and Workforce. What, right? And this is simple. The whole bill is right here. To abolish the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and for other purposes. The House of Representatives, January 3rd, 2025. I'm going to read the whole bill because it's like less than 100 words. Right, Mr. Biggs of Arizona introduced the following bill, which was referred to the Committee on Education Workforce. A bill to abolish the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and for the purposes being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of North American Congress assembled. Section 1. This act may be cited as the Nullified Occupational Safety and Health Administrative Act or the NOSHA Act. The Occupational Safety and Health Act of 1970 is repealed. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is abolished. Real simple bill. So what were the actions? I'm going to click on that tab. Latest action, referred. That's it. So if somebody comes up and tells you the NOSHA Act and it's been blah, 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 well, guess what? It has not gone anywhere with this. It's in committee. It's not on the docket or anything else. So that's item number one. So, you know, things go around these job sites at workplaces. Oh, we're going to get you. You ain't going to have a job. Right? Because we ain't going to have no use for you. Because of the NOSHA Act. It's all a bunch of baloney. Now, last week, I attended the OSHA Outreach Training Class. I believe I talked about this last Thursday. The OSHA Outreach Instructor Reauthorization Class over at Rutgers. And this is what this deal is up here, at least in the New Jersey area. Right? There were 11 people in the class, 6 are unemployed. The way it is. It's an issue. Right? So everybody went for the reauthorization things. And guess what? I'm going to be 55 years old this year. I was one of the youngest people in the class. So what's going on? Older people are being phased out here. Maybe I am an older person. Right? And this is the kind of stuff that goes on. Now, what do you do? Right? You're over 55, you're over 50. No, it's very difficult to get a job from what I've heard with this stuff. And this is the kind of stuff we have to deal with. Now, got to pivot, got to update your skills. I don't want to say work harder because that's what you always hear. Oh, work harder at getting a job, finding a job. It's like the same thing as flaming the employee. Next thing. Right, we're going to get back to OSHA stuff here. This weekend, we had many, many, many. All right, let's see how many. Oh, do they give a number here? Hold on. Where did that article go? This is from CBS Colorado. Thousands brave cold endeavor anti-Trump protests as a part of a nationwide network of hands-off events. Despite the colder weather on Saturday, thousands showed up at Colorado's state capitol, downtown Denver, to voice their displeasure with the state and nation's part of a network of demonstrations dubbed hands-off. Now, here's a bigger article from CBS. More than 1,200 hands-off demonstrations were planned by more than 150 groups, including civil rights organizations, labor unions, LGBTQ+, Did I get them all? Get all those letters? They're LGBTQ plus advocates, veterans, and elections activists. The protests are taking place in National Mall. Right? And hold on. All right. Yeah, I got distracted here. The protests are taking place in National and Washington, D.C. We are an active thing. People are running in and out. And what is the hands-off movement? Protesters are assailing the Trump administration's moves to fire thousands of federal workers. Close Social Security Administration field offices, effectively shut our entire agencies, deport immigrants, scale back protections. And, you know, we've been talking about that here and there with this. Now, this is what I don't get. All right? And this is from MSN, opinion by Mandy Tahiri. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Major anti-Trump hands-off protests erupt across Europe. Thousands of demonstrators are taking part in global hands-off protests against President Donald Trump and his top advisor, billionaire Elon Musk, with hundreds rallying in about a dozen cities across Europe. Hands-off is a grassroots movement and coalition of hundreds of organizations who want the Trump administration, including Musk, who has the Department of Government Efficiency, to take their hands off of Social Security, federal jobs, Medicaid, and more. Trump said in a February Fox News interview that Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid benefits will not be touched unless there's fraud or something. Hundreds of people in European cities, including Frankfurt, Berlin, London, Lisbon, and Paris, took to the streets in solidarity with American protests, highlighting the global impact of Trump's policies in the United States. More than 1,200 hands-off demonstrations have been planned nationwide, with some already underway. So here's my question here with this. And this is with the same question I had with the tariffs last week or the week before. People are allowed, countries are allowed to put tariffs on U.S. goods. And for any discussion on the tariffs I have with anybody, I ask the question, if they're allowed to do it to the United States, can the United States do it to them? Simple question. This is not political. Because, and that's a fundamental question. Why are they so upset with us putting tariffs on them? Because they're not upset so much with the amount of tariffs. It's the fact is, how dare you put tariffs on us after we put tariffs on you? Right, and that's all I'm going to say. And that's where the discussion has to come about. So are we equal partners or not? Do we believe in free market or not? Because there's a lot of people who are not thinking out there. They're not letting their emotions run the whole thing here. And I understand you have money in the stock market. You have money in the 401k. If you ask some people what a 401k is, they're like, wow, is that like a really one of those endurance running events or bike rides, a 401k? Right? Anyway, this is what the story is. If you are retiring now and you have to cash out these investments now, you're in a dilemma. Do I wait to retire? What do I do with it? Do I not take money, blah, blah, blah? Or do I continue to work and all this other stuff? Because right as of now, the unemployment rate is holding steady. If things work out with Trump, things are, you know, going to go up. Here's the other thing. Why are you 25 years old? And this is what the conversation we had this weekend with one of the groups I'm involved with. You're 25 years old. You're not retiring for another 45 years. And the way that Social Security is running, it's going to be a hell of a lot longer than that. Why are you upset about this now? The market goes down. Market goes up. You got to be you're a long-term investor here. What's it going to be done in the future? It's going to. We've been screaming about a correction here for about 15 years that the market's overvalued. There's going to be a correction, and it's going to hurt. In 2009, when I ran for office, I had none other than the great Murray Savern, who has graced the airwaves here at Safety FM, talking about finances. And the way he explained it was real simple. And this was 2009 when he ran for governor of New Jersey. No, I'm sorry. Correction. 2011, I think it was, when he ran for Senate of New Jersey, right? He had said, let's take care of these problems now, right? Because now it's not going to be painful. If we keep on delaying any solutions, and he wasn't the only one. Yeah, financial commentators like Peter Schiff, Ron Paul, right, to name two, and the whole talk radio sphere. Let's take care of this stuff now. So therefore, when we, if we delay this, this is going to become a root canal. Well, welcome to the root canal here. Well, this is painful. The other thing is this. We have the Republicans screaming and yelling, we got to reduce the size and scope of federal government. We got to do it. We got to reduce. And we've been hearing this from the time immemorial at this point. Right? So for the people who are just entering into the public discussion the last 5 years, these discussions have been going on since the 1980s. Now, how is this safety related? We're going to get to that here. Because I'm trying to say to people, calm the bleep down. That's the safety part here. Okay, so Republicans, reduce the size and scope of government. Well, guess what? You have somebody in there reducing the size and scope of government, and you're not happy. Why? Because you were never about reducing the size and scope of government. You were, right, and your friend, not so much the people now, but the people going back 45 years, they weren't about this. They're all for big government when it comes to their pet projects. And what happened? NAFTA, early 1990s, you had people out there. Well, with NAFTA. Well, you know, all this is a giant sucking sound. That's how Ross Perot had described a giant sucking sound towards Canada and Mexico and overseas. All these things are bad, the way things are being managed. And then it got worse and worse and worse and worse. Now it's to the point, well, how dare you raise tariffs on us? Now, in 1994, we're going to go the way back machine here, 1994. We had a situation in this country, 1992, because of Ross Perot splitting the vote, the Electoral College, with George H.W. Bush, right? What was it? President number 41, right? George H.W. Bush, he split the vote. Bill Clinton got in with not a majority of the vote. It was a 43. Basically, it was 43% of the vote he got. And people were pissed over that, right? I got wrapped up in it. People were pissed. So then you got people donating, and in 94, you had Congress being taken over by the Republicans, the House of Representatives in over 40 years, the Senate in 86 was a majority Republican for one session, and that was it. And then it goes back, back to whatever the 40 years was, 1954, all right? So you had a Republican majority in both houses. You had a Democratic president, and that is what that lasted, for quite some time. The issue came up from the same cast of characters. You had the Pelosi's, you had all these other people, the same cast of characters you had, saying, how dare the Republicans, right? How dare they? And shame on them for taking over both houses of Congress. Now we have a situation here, same thing. How dare they raise tariffs on us? Again, principle, stoicism, calm. So now you're 25 years old, right? And these, and I'm sorry, the brain does not, according to neuroscientists, the brain does not evolve fully and grow up and fully mature until like 25, 26. For some people, it's about 63. But anyway, you're easily manipulated. We did a whole series of programs here on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. We repackaged it a little bit where it was pushback from that we receive as safety professionals. We had that, right? So here, let's get them up. Here they are. Let's see how this plays out here. Power is not, by the way, we're going to go over 2 hours on this one tonight, friends. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots build power and flesh, right? Never go out. Let's see what here it is. The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. How does it think that applies a little bit here? Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Right? If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. Again, why do I mention the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals? Why do we talk about it? Why do we talk about it with here? You're being manipulated, people. Constant media manipulation here. And this is to get you riled up. And let's remember something. And it happened with the Tea Party in some cases. It happened in the protests and right all through the South, Charlottesville. It happened with January 6th. It happened with all on the other side with all the riots in the 2020. It's happening now with the destruction of Tesla. It's happened this weekend with all these things going on with the protests and blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. The question here is this. Who is actually managing these protests, number one? And number two is, do you really think that they're going to pay the price? Or is it going to be the minions out there, the activists? It's a question that you have. Because I tell you what, last year with the protests of the Palestinian and Israeli protests, guess what? A lot of those people are getting, high-profile people got deported. A lot of those people got thrown out of Ivy League institutions. How many people got thrown out of lesser institutions? Who's really paying the price for these protests financially and also with what I just mentioned? Someone's got to pay a price. And believe me, it ain't going to be the freaking leaders of your movement. They're not going to pay the price. Because this is an industry. You go on to job services. Let's pick one up here. Let's go to Indeed. Right? Let's go to Indeed. Because okay, so here we have, it has to be located in Suffern, New York, right? Not really, right here. Protester. All right, so we're going to enter that in. Protest. So here we have. You're going to love it. So here, I enter in protests here. Fundraising associate political campaign here. Right? So let's expand this to USA. Here we have one. Meteor monitor. Gate guard. A sales agent for a protest. Right? Grassroots advocacy manager. Right? And all different types of stuff here, right, for this. All right? Let's go on to another popular site, LinkedIn. And we have in, right? Let's see. Let's look at the jobs, right? Protester. Hold on. Nothing came up here. So here, hold on. Here you go. Let's just do a general search. Paid protester jobs. Paid activist jobs. Okay, here we go. From Indeed. Canvas for a certain nonprofit. $21 to $30 an hour. Summer environmental campaign position. Legislative and political assist, another activist job. Nonprofit FTF fundraiser. I don't know what that is. Female to female? I don't know, but it doesn't look like that. General interest forum from another one. Right? An organizer. A campaign researcher. An advocate. Advocacy for an organizer. All this stuff in here. Paid activist. Community organizer. Let's try what that is. Not really there. But anyway, what's my point here? There are paid people that do this, that organize this stuff. Here's an article from Crowds on Demand. Activism for Hire, How to Land a Paid Protesting Job from crowdsondemand.com. With the rise of, and here, I'm not going to go through all of it, this is under fair use. With the rise of digital communication and social media, activism has become more visible and accessible than ever. Alongside the trend, the concept of paid activism has gained traction. Crowds on Demand has capitalized on this trend, offering individuals a chance to participate in protests and demonstrations in exchange for money. Okay, so here I'm going to do this. Hold on. So, and there, hey, request a quote. Who we are. They came in event in 2012. And, okay, we're going to, no, these are paid protests. And these things, well, this is what the funny thing is. I'm told this never existed. This used to be on the old Craigslist, if you remember that one, before they had to clean things up. Right? Because, you know, they had shameful dating sections on that they got sued over. So don't get all wrapped up in this stuff. This is what my point is, because there are people out there, right, any right or left, doesn't matter. There are people out there making money doing the rebel rousing. There's people out there charging for this. Right? And this is, again, nothing new. Now, it was pretty accurate, if you recall. The movie, it came out a long time ago, over 20 years ago, The Gangs of New York, with Daniel Day-Lewis and the other guy from Titanic. Name escapes me right now. So, with that, right, so let's take a commercial break. I went for 30 minutes here. I've like the other Wars program here. Let's go, and you know, of course.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Yes, that's all us facing the harsh reality.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer-emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Posel and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
So, link this in with the weird things, right? We have some weird news here. But this one caught my imagination a little bit here. So, let's review some of our natural history here. About 25,000 years ago, we had an ice age here, and it took around 15,000 years for things to start to get settled out, ice to get melting, and everything else. Which goes to show you, global climate change always happens. Now, what ended up happening here was you had big animals. Right. And what blows my mind is that woolly mammoths were still here when the pyramids were built, right? I've heard that, right? But a lot of the bigger animals that were around during the Ice Age that were adapted to the Ice Age went extinct. Three of them right off the bat. One, the woolly mammoth. Number two was the saber-toothed tiger. Number three was the dire wolf. All right. Now, there are skeletons apparently all over the Americas of the dire wolf with this. I don't know if they were in Europe or not. That's probably, hold on, let's do a quick Wikipedia search, right? Like that's accurate. So the dire wolf, right? So what was the name of it? It was Acionon A. Darius. Right, what was the range here? Let's see. Big freaking animal, that's all I have to say. So, what was it? Extinct canine, the dire wolf, lived in the Americas, so it was limited to the Americas, right? And they had 2 subspecies, and huge. Right, so was the largest modern, was about the same size as the largest modern gray wolves, the Yukon wolf and the Northwestern wolf. So there's this company out there named Colossus that was able to take DNA from the gray wolf and insert, which is apparently 99% of the same as the dire wolf, right? They have 99.5% the same. They're able to splice dire wolf DNA on there, implant it into a dog, and now there are three pups, right? And they're supposed to, right? They're back from extinction after 12,000 years. Again, with the dire wolf, right? There are two, the modern dire wolves, Romulus, I'm reading from Rolling Stone here. Romulus and Remus, must be Star Trek fans, I'm sorry. Born in October, plus the third pup, Khaleesi, born in January, are the results and efforts by bioscience startup Colossal, which launched in 2021. You may know the company for recently producing the headline-grabbing and objectively adorable Woolly Mice as part of their cornerstone event to bring back the woolly mammoth. The Colossus dire wolf project has since outpaced the mammoth thanks to an abundance of science. Hold on. Tell people, don't call me, I'm on the air. Okay, sorry, Gene Roddenberry. Oh, I know I'm going to get dinged for this. That was background. All right. Dire Wolf Project has since outpaced the mammoth thanks to an abundance of science, both genetic and reproductive, available about dogs compared to elephants. Anyway, gene editing and everything else. There's a nice, cute, fuzzy little white animals, and I'm looking here in pictures. The reality here is this. Are we playing God? A lot of this stuff, and I know, I like animals too. A lot of these animals went extinct for a reason. Right? Why not let nature take its course? Why are we messing around with this? I don't know. So let's get on with the safety stuff. And hopefully we're not going to get any more interruptions here. All right. Now, the big thing going around the blogosphere, LinkedIn, and everything else is the layoffs at NIOSH. So apparently there were hundreds of people, we're looking at different numbers here, that received the following notice last week. Let's bring this up here. The following notice last week on... Hold on, folks. And I closed it out. Reopen it. Basically, and I think this is an issue with marketing. No, Jay Allen has mentioned more than one time that as safety professionals, we have to market what we're doing. That's why I think, no, and I know people are going to not like me say this, I think Elon Musk's idea of, tell me what you did last week's situation. And you're constantly trying to justify your job here, right? If you're working for the federal government, not a very bad idea with that. Now, depending on what you're doing, you're going to say, well, let's say you're a VA nurse, for example, something that I'm very familiar with. You're a VA nurse, guess what? That's, you may say, well, wait, I did so many blood sugar measurements last week. I did so many of this, so many of that, blah, blah. And you consider that to be normal work. But guess what? You're basically, what's the word I'm looking for? You're marketing what you're doing. Wouldn't it be nice if you're in private industry to have a list? You do this every week. This is what I did this week. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And then for your annual review, you say, well, what did you do to the for the organization? I did this. And you keep a running record of that. And a lot of organizations, one, they may think that you're out to get somebody. But the other thing is this. You are creating a record. Say, this is what my value is for the organization. And you can say, well, what do you mean, Jim? This is basically it. You're going out there and you're marketing. I have a feeling that these layoffs that they're talking about at NIOSH, and again, we're talking about big things here. What does NIOSH do? Test respirators, number one. And a lot of respirators that are marketed in this country don't work. They don't work the way they're supposed to, especially the air purifying ones, right? Here, I'm looking for this reduction in force notice that I just erased off of here. Notice NIOSH, right? Here you go. Ba-ba-bum. Right? And you know, let me go to commercial rather than me keep talking here. We're going to go into some AI music here for a second.
Mechanical birds above our heads, watching secrets and the streets we tread. Beeping lights and wings of chrome, guiding paths as we roam. New Jersey skies, they hover high, whispers carried by the night. Silent judges in the drone, leading us to the unknown. Eyes in the sky, they never sleep. Dreams and secrets.
Set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind.
Fire extinguisher, spark of desire. Emergency exits, this love's on fire.
Hard had it real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast.
Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start.
Danger
for signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged, our hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind.
All right, here we go. Sorry about that. So this was sent out to HHS personnel here. It's a reduction in force memo. This is informed HHS will be conducting the RIF in accordance with the Office of Personnel Management, blah, 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 blah. Reason for the RIF has been made in accordance with the executive orders signed by the President on February 11th and the Department of Health and Human Services. Effective date. The RIF will take effect on June 30th with formal notices being issued to affected employees at least 60 days prior to the effective date as required by law. And it gives you the rights and everything else. And they're going to offer assistance and everything else signed by Tom Nagy. Now, let me download that to make sure we got it. All right, so that's the notice that they got. So what does NIOSH do? NIOSH does a lot of stuff. Again, we usually leave it at that they're the research arm of the federal government with occupational safety and health here, but they do a lot, right? National Protective Personal PPE Technology Laboratory, right? NIOSH's mining program, fire services, right? Where the firefighters, how their health is, all that stuff goes in there. Now, here's a question. Here's what the problem is here. Again, you talk to people on the street. They've heard of the EPA. Everybody's heard of the EPA, right? Environmental Protection. A lot of people have heard of OSHA, but being an OSHA outreach trainer, I can tell you not a lot of people were hit by, don't know what OSHA is. So what's my point? People don't know what a lot of these agencies are. Whose fault is that? That's the agency's fault. This is what it is. We could sit here all day long and read press releases from all these organizations. Rarely do I ever see a press release from NIOSH. Rarely do I see a press release from Youth and Health and Human Services. They should have been marketing. That's what you got to do. You're a safety professional. Go out and market what you're doing. Talk to the people on the inside of your organization. Start an internal newsletter. Hey, this is what's going on once a week. Hey, this is what we're doing. For your own boss. Hey, this is what we accomplished last week. This is not a big deal here. Maybe if people were more aware of what you were doing, then you're less likely to get cut. I'm not blaming the victim here. I'm just explaining reality. Because it seems to me that the agencies that are getting cut are the ones that you've never heard of. Right? I don't know. It's not that I'm disorganized. I closed things that I shouldn't have closed out. Let's finally get over to safety news. OSHA is issuing press releases again. So, U.S. Department of Labor removes Morton Salt Incorporated, Weeks Island Mine, and Mill from MSHA's pattern of violations list. U.S. Department of Labor announced that MSHA has released Morton Salt Incorporated's Weeks Island Mine and Mill from the agency's pattern of violations designation after demonstrating significant and sustained improvements in safety and compliance. So you could say that the pattern of violations are now salt-free. Right? They're on that there DASH diet now. What's the pattern of violations here? Again, there were a lot of different things, measurable improvements. Apparently, they found a lot of bad things. So I'm on the MSHA.gov website. And you know what I should do? A share screen. So a pattern of violations is used by MSHA to identify mine operators who have demonstrated a recurring pattern of significant and substantial violations of mandatory health and safety patterns, standards in their mines. An SNS violation is one that is reasonably likely to result in a serious injury or illness. And what's the determination? At least once a year, MSHA reviews the violation and injury history of each mine to determine whether any meet the established criteria. Right? So mines that meet all of the criteria in either set will be, so there's two sets, will be further considered to determine whether the mine operator should be issued a notice of pattern. At least 50 citations or orders for SNS violations within the last 12 months. At a rate of 8 or more SNS citation orders issued for 100 inspection hours during the most recent 12 months, or the degree of negligence for at least 25% of the SNS orders issued during the most recent 12 months is high or reckless disregard, at least 0.5 elevated citations and orders, right? An injury severity measure, SM, for the mine that is greater than the overall industry SM for all mines in the same mine type and classification over the recent 12 months, right? And with that, so it's like a severe violator thing under the OSHA parlance. So they got out of it. So, right, they're salt-free there. U.S. Department of Labor reached an agreement with James Fort roofing contractor John Troyer after a federal investigation determined he violated federal laws, resulting in a teens worker's fatal flaw in March 2023. And one thing here is that under the agreement, Troyer must pay $290,000, which includes $156,000 plus in OSHA penalties, $15,000 in child labor penalties, and $118,000 in criminal fines. The company will also enroll in Missouri's on-site safety and health consultation program. Again, these press releases do not have the agreements or reports on them. That's a major difference with these and with the Biden administration. And right here we have the labor.mo.gov on-site safety and health consultation. And again, you can get a lot of things here off of this, right? A lot of information. So fire prevention plan, all different links, the fire prevention plans, right? So it's a good thing with that. This is from Appleton, Wisconsin. A lot of stuff going on in Wisconsin all the time. Oh, U.S. Department of Labor cites roofing contractor for repeatedly exposing workers to fall hazards. OSHA proposes $262,000 in penalties. U.S. Department of Labor cited roofing contractor for failing to protect employees atop a residential roof from fall hazards. Now, this has a further follow-up on things, right? $262,174 in penalties here. So I'm going to stop the share on this one because I have to go to a regular web page here. So this is from a Fox 56, WOLF, the wolf, I guess. And hold on. Okay, let's reload. All right, so local roofing contractor cited by OSHA. This is from fox56.com. They have a little bit more detail here. The OSHA stated the company was cited for two willful violations for lack of fall protection and failure to ensure the use of personal protective equipment and 10 serious violations for improper labeling flammable containers working near energized power circuits and improper use of ladders. Due to reported history of violations, the company has also been added to OSHA's severe severe violators enforcement program. You know, this is not hard to do roofing work. I'm sorry. Again, here we have with the previous story within out of Jamesport. All right. So this is the one with roofing here. They illegally employ minors in roofing work. Minors are not allowed to work at height in most places here. So that's where that comes into. All right. And EPA will expeditiously review new signs on fluoride in drinking water. We'll finish off with this one since I talked about all the other stuff. Today at an event in Salt Lake City, Utah, with the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the agency's decision to expeditiously review new scientific information on potential human health risks of fluoride in drinking water. Right? I mean, this has been a debate going on since the 1950s here. Administrator Zeldin moves forward with ensuring U.S. states are not punished for foreign air. This decision benefits many states that have been asking for this action, including Utah and Arizona. While in Utah, U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced today that the agency is rescinding guidance on the Preparation for a Clean Air Act, Section 179B demonstration for non-attainment areas affected by international transport of emissions. Right, Americans should not be harmed by other countries that do not have the same environmental standards we have in the United States. Today's announcement is a step in the right direction. So this is for regulatory reliefs when an area would have attained national ambient air quality standards except for international transport emissions. So what two states were these again? Well, they're going to be border states, and I'm thinking it's going to be like Mexico. So why don't they just come out and say Mexico? Here we have Utah. Yeah, Utah failed to attain ozone national ambient air quality standards. So Utah, really? Okay. All right. They're blaming somebody else. EPA issues final permits for geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide in Texas. Today, the EPA issued final Class 6 permits to Oxy Low Carbon Ventures for 3 wells for geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide in Ector County, Texas. These are the first permits that EPA has issued in Texas for Class 6 wells under the Safe Drinking Water Act Underground Injection Control Program. Right, Class 6 injection wells store carbon dioxide deep underground that has been captured from emission source or the atmosphere. All right, so that's another one. So that's all we got for tonight. I will see you tomorrow, and take care.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.